This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 12th of June, 2023. We are going to be doing our Saxo Market Call listener surveys once again this week. We put a new one out. You can find it. The link in the podcast description. We'll be tweeting it out. It's also even in the slide deck on slide two. So have a look at that. We really appreciate your feedback and really curious to hear what our listeners are thinking about, what's top of mind, and what you'd like for us to talk about on the next two Fridays. So please do have a look at that survey and provide us with some answers, and you can shape what we're going to talk about again for those next two Friday podcasts. Rounding up markets, though, for this week, we have the sort of a probe higher for new highs for the cycle in the U.S. equity market on Friday. That was sort of pushed back a little bit, not a whole lot of drama. And we talked a lot about divergences, so that was the headline sort of action in the indices. And then on the Russell 2000 sort of value side, a bit of a weaker session. But as I point out here, Peter, I sorted the little Saxo equity theme basket performance overview there on slide three on the year-to-date. Just some remarkable performance levels. Of course, we did start the year at low levels, as we've talked about it. But even month to date, I mean, you're looking at 5+% on some of these quite large baskets. 3.6 for the mega caps. That's, you know, half a year's decent performance in just a few days. So yeah, what's your take here? It's a critical week ahead with FOMC and etc.
It is, and I know there are many different interpretations of what's going on in the market, and you know, some could argue from a technical perspective that there might be exhaustion and divergence, as you mentioned, etc. You can call it gut feeling or whatever. It's just that from what I'm reading out of the market behavior and what I'm reading across different social media channels, including Twitter, etc., I just feel I sense some type of animal spirits, and I think large of that is reflected both in the index concentration we've talked about. I sense it also with the way the VIX is behaving. It got to a new closing low on Friday. To me, I mean, it's driven by these bubble pockets, and especially around the AI theme, but also electric vehicle theme is getting some excitement. And, you know, NIO is up 5% today in Chinese trading, despite, you know, it was really a bad Friday earnings release from them. They slipping in the against the competition. So I don't have a good feeling, John, to be honest about this. And I still think that there's a huge gap between what is the bond market and all the economists are saying about the near term outlook, and then what we're getting from the equities. It's very two different stories. And I think my final point is, We got the bubble in 2021 with very low rates. We talked about low interest rates of fueling bubbles, but, you know, just like in 2000, we had high policy rates, and we still got a bubble in technology. And now we have high policy rates, and we again seeing signs of bubbles. I just think that you have to be worried. But I think from an agnostic perspective, we cannot rule out, John, that potentially we could get a melt up. What if the FOMC pauses? Could that actually accelerate this move in equities?
Yeah, that's what the market is thinking. If you look at the odds for a rate move this week, around 25-30% after a single weekly jobless claims number that's out of range. So I just think, just a reality check, not trying to make a call on the FOMC. I do think they're going to hike at least once more. They could pause this week. I think they would do well to go ahead and hike unless there's just some shocking miss on the CPI tomorrow. But just remember where we were in March in terms of the Fed's projections. And since then, I don't think we're getting sort of moving in the right direction relative to those projections. So, of course, we get a refresh of these at the FOMC meeting this week. We'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow and I guess Wednesday as well. But just I put those up on slide four, the ones from March. And just think that the Fed is still planning to be essentially at the current policy rate level of just above 5%, despite anticipating that real GDP growth would be very poor this year, ending the year around 0.4%, the unemployment rate rising 4 to 4.5%, so more than a percent off the lows, PC inflation dropping to 3.3 and core PC to 3.6. The core PC, of course, the important one, and that's after you've seen 5 months here a very sticky PCE core in the 4.6 to 4.7% range. So we're going to need to see a lot of persistent drop to justify this outlook. Why shouldn't the Fed just go ahead and hike at least once more, maybe twice more, is my question to this market. But the market seems complacent, and you can see there on the SOFR futures how much sort of Fed cutting is priced into the forward curve, less than there has been. But if you look forward there, you're seeing on the order of 175 basis points of easing into early 2025. And so the dollar view is somewhat flat with that complacency, and it's lower, of course, in places depending on where your focus is. Certainly the Aussie very strong. I don't think that Aussie move fits well with what's going on in older space with commodities. The copper attempt through resistance on Friday rebuffed there. It just looks very steep, that price action coming into this week. But let's see if it's rewarded with a sort of a pause from the Fed and complacency. And you see a very, very weak Chinese renminbi. So the Aussie positive story is partially the RBA, but supposedly also partially the anticipation that this very weak Chinese data and especially the inflation data leading to the notion and hope that we'll see some sort of stimulus coming through. A big jump in the Nokkie, as you can see there on slide 5 on the momentum change there after a very hot CPI print last week that we talked about on Friday. But let's talk about not only the Fed, I'll say it, but a critical focus here, regardless of what the Fed says, is the whole Treasury outlook. We've been talking about this. It looks like today could be a key testing day for this theme.
Yes, John. So just between today and tomorrow, the U.S. Treasury has to issue roughly $300 billion worth of T-bills and coupon issuances. And the problem with that is, I'm going to take you on slide 6, is that as net issuance, the U.S. Treasury has to raise for the TGA $116 billion per week. And according to that graph, since the global financial crisis in 2008 until today, only 8 times the U.S. Treasury has issued that much cash for the TGA, and 10 of those times happened during the pandemic. But the market conditions were completely different because, as you can see from the chart, interest rates were much lower. And when we had a peak in the past 15 years, it was around 2019 when the benchmark rate was at 2.5%. So for today and tomorrow, my attention will definitely be for these auctions that we have at the U.S. Treasuries, especially the coupon auctions. And
when you say coupon auctions, that's the 3 and 10 year notes that are being auctioned today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And also tomorrow we have the 30-year auction. So my attention will be there, looking at any crack in liquidity.
All right, let's watch for the results there. In addition to what the Fed says, now one thing that's certainly not providing a lot of inflationary impulse here, Ole. And we're getting into the most favorable year-on-year comparisons. There was that crazy spike in gasoline prices to record levels in the U.S. last year, almost exactly 1 year ago. So we'll be getting some more favorable, at least headline, inflation comparisons coming in. And Saudi Arabia not getting what it wants with its latest production cuts, to say the least here. And so where's your focus? I guess it looks like a pretty heavy energy focus here for the commodity space.
Yes, indeed. Obviously, the commodity space will be watching the central bank decisions this week. As anyone else, I think we also got a rate decision from China, even though there's not really an expectation for a cut there. But the market clearly needs some momentum right now to break out of the ranges that we see now for a while. And that's across quite a few of these commodities. But you're right, John, the energy sector, crude oil, we're stuck here in the 70s. We are trading lower today. There was a conference over the weekend where the Saudi energy minister once again reiterated their views on why they had to cut production. So far, the market's not really buying it because the overall demand worry is still weighing on the market. So I think all in all, it just leads to a market that remains range-bound for now. We've seen one of the biggest bulls out there, Goldman Sachs, reduce their call for oil prices for a third time in 6 months, so obviously adjusting to the current developments. So we're not seeing much upside in the short term. At the same time, the downside should be capped simply because we've seen OPEC's willingness to step in to support the price. But another market that you mentioned, the gas price in the U.S. Spiking and peaking around a year ago, is we are also approaching the one-year anniversary of that massive spike in European gas prices after the war in Ukraine broke out. But just this past week, we've seen actually quite a bit of a jump. It doesn't really, no, you can hardly see it on the chart there because we come from such extreme levels, but we actually jumped 35% last week. And that's driven by the reduction in LNG imports. You can see there on the top right corner on slide 7. LNG is now being diverted to Asia because they have a massive heat wave. It requires increased amount of gas to run cooling. And at the same time, we've got some outages coming from pipelines from Norway. So all in all, the inventory rebuilt is slowing at this point in time, and that's unnerving the market, and that's why we're seeing these prices are higher. And just to
I did just flag it, if anybody wants to Google it, there was some interesting article, I believe it was on Bloomberg or might have been FT, on some Ukrainian site that actually could store triple the amount of the largest storage sites in Germany, and that they're looking to hopefully use that as a storage hub because it's already connected to the Western the key gas delivery points to the west. It was just I just wanted to find out
that as well, and that potentially could obviously add to the overall level of inventories.
The
buffer exactly as we move into the winter. The just finally I sent out a note on Friday, basically just asking the question: have we reached the through in the commodity sell-off? It's probably too early to say still. I think we need to see the macroeconomic outlook start to stabilize a bit more than it is right now. But we're nevertheless seeing quite a decent start to June for across the commodity space. Hedge funds and speculators reacted to that as well. There was quite a lot of broad buying going on last week across all the different sectors. And you can see that that's the first time since April where we actually saw all three sectors getting bought in the same week. So let's see if whether this momentum can hold. Obviously, right now, as I just mentioned, the gas price, the very hot weather we're having right now, lifting gas prices, but it's also lifting food commodities. So that's another sector we're keeping a close eye on.
Yeah, insane drought going on here in Denmark, not an area that's generally known for drought. All right, turning back to the equity market, Peter, we talked a couple of these names on Friday. I put up an interesting chart, by the way, if anybody wants to look at it on Friday, or at least I felt it was interesting, the divergence between Lennar, the equity price, and what's going on in terms of U.S. housing starts. Certainly an interest rate sensitive sector, U.S. housing. But what's your take on anything you want to pull out of the earnings that are coming in this week?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the housing market because if you take the U.S. equity market versus the European equity market, or the other way around, the European equity market, you can see that the European equity market have two sectors that are trading at a premium to the U.S. So it's the healthcare and industrials, and the single one sector that is trading at the biggest discount to the U.S. in Europe here is the real estate sector. It's actually trading at a massive discount, 53% on valuation to the U.S. So the sentiment is much more hot around real estate. And as you also pointed out, I mean, it's the Lennar's price performance have been very strong going into this earnings release, despite you could come up with a very, very different narrative and lead from the macro data around the U.S. housing market. So I think that's a good one to track. That's on Wednesday, and we have Oracle today, tonight, after the close. A lot of distortion in the figures because they bought this massive healthcare software company called Cerner last year. So their year-on-year comparables are not good. Revenue's up 16%, but you have to strip out the figures from the acquisition to get the real underlying organic growth rate. But I'm pretty sure Oracle will provide that. And then the big one for the week, as we talked about, is Adobe. Adobe is almost $200 billion gorilla in terms of market value. So it's important for the ecosystem, and you know, some of the latest product introductions and releases around AI, some very cool features have really garnered a lot of excitement around this stock. So I think there will be a lot of focus on Adobe on Thursday night, and we'll get the full price action on Friday.
Yeah, very interesting. Any name that's been pumped recently on AI related news, and there is that AI angle on Adobe. So what they deliver versus expectations and versus what the market is pricing here. So, yeah. And then rolling forward to the macro calendars, a chock full of stuff this week, to say the least. We have those treasury auctions up, a 3 and a 10 year, and a bit unusual to see both of those on the same day. But they're up later today and the 30 or tomorrow, as Althea mentioned as well. And then besides the US CPI, which again, critical to watch the core there. It's been sticky for, I believe it's 4 months running at around the 5.6% level, plus minus 0.1%. Expected to drop to 5.3. I think that is the critical number, the month-on-month core, or ex food and energy as it's called, and then that year-on-year as a key lead-in. If it's not dropping to those levels, I have a hard time seeing the Fed not hiking on Wednesday. And the headline, by the way, expected to drop all the way to 4.1% as the most favorable basing effects for a drop in the headline coming into view here in May, June, and July. But also the UK jobless claims and payrolls data, really critical up tomorrow after we've been trending the wrong way there. Is the strong pound justified if we're seeing material weakening in the labor market, a sort of stagflationary setup potential there if we get some more bad job or labor market related data? And the FOMC decision itself on Wednesday. ECB, I think a little bit fading in importance because of the weak Eurozone economy. It's just sort of pulling the lever once again and providing some sort of a flat guidance, I think, relative to what the market is expecting. May retail sales on Thursday as well. And the Bank of Japan meeting, very little expected. There was even a deputy governor out saying don't expect anything. But I think the market is so sensitive on this Bank of Japan, thinking that it's going to have to step in some way towards normalization here at some point. And even any guidance that suggests a July consideration to maybe do something might be enough to be a hawkish surprise there. It's a key potential volatility driver, not that they will drive volatility, but it's a key potential volatility driver, perhaps even greater for global markets in terms of the risks than the FOMC meeting this week. So stay tuned for that. We'll be talking through this as the as we get to each and every of these event risks. In the meantime, head over to the Saxo Market Call Listeners Survey, put your answers in there, and of course, we'll address those on this Friday's Listener Edition podcast. For now, that's a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.